This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Executive action on day one. Yes, he will use the power of his pen to deliver on many of the promises he made to the American people on the campaign trail to secure the southern border, to fast track permits for fracking, for drilling, and to also take executive action to stop some of the transgender insanity that we have seen take over this country. I think the American people are going to be pleased with what they see from President Trump within mere minutes of his return to the Oval Office.
Yeah, Caroline Leavitt speaking with Marie Bartiromo this weekend. She's like, seriously, what are you doing day one? I heard President Trump say yesterday that he really believes a lot of the things he's going to try to do will start happening by 2 o'clock on January 20th. Listen.
And we're going to change it because your border is a disaster. Your border is a disaster, what's going on. And you just have a few days to wait. We're going to be fully operational, I would say, by about 2 o'clock on the 20th. 20th of January.
Yeah. I don't know. He gets sworn in at, what, noon or something? By 2 o'clock, he's ready to roll. We have Ashley Smith-Thomas on the phone with us this morning, a political strategist, founder, and CEO of Freedom Fund USA. Ashley, welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
Is that realistic, you think?
Hey, you know what? He has been defying the odds, so we will see. I'm optimistic, and if he can do it, then he's certainly making history.
You know, I had, just before your interview here, I had Congressman-elect Bob Onder on. He's going to be replacing Blaine Lutkemeyer as a Missouri congressperson there in District 3, and he gets sworn in January 3rd. And you know, I said to him, how would you have voted last week on this CR had you been there? And he tells me he probably would have been a no on it, even though he thought the final version was an improvement over the original. This is what concerns me, Ashley, I got to say. I mean, I have cautious optimism that they're going to try to get some things done. But they had an opportunity to go to the mat here and say, go ahead and shut it down for a week and a half. We'll pass what we want when we come back January 3rd. And Mike Johnson and everybody caved, in my opinion.
No, and I'm glad that you brought that up, because when you look at what happened last week, there was just a lot of drama going on there at the House. And you look at this massive stopgap funding bill that was originally put forward by Speaker Johnson. It was 1,500 pages long. And then that caused criticism by President-elect Trump and Elon Musk and some of the conservatives. But then you saw where then on Thursday, Trump and Elon, they worked on a piece of legislation that reduced the pages from 1,500 to 116 pages, which, you know, thankfully it cut a lot of the pork spending. However, with that, the frustration still ensued with the Republicans, because some were still calling for the government to shut down so that they could get what they really wanted. Some are really frustrated with Speaker Johnson because they're tired of him conceding to the Democrats and trying to meet their demands over what the Republicans are trying to get passed. And so on Friday, it was reported that the House finally passed bipartisan bill to get it passed. They removed the request that Trump had, which was to have a $5 trillion debt extension, and that just didn't go over well with Republicans and Democrats, so that was removed. But still, 34 Republicans voted no on the final bill. And so it's interesting to just to kind of see the dynamics here. I'm also curious to see what's going to happen with Speaker Johnson. There's been articles written and reports that potentially Jim Jordan, they're looking at him, or Byron Donalds to be the potential speaker as he's fighting for his speakership. And that will be voted on January 3rd when the new Congress is sworn in. But it's going to be really interesting to just see what happens here within the next week and a half. But I agree with you. I think that people need to stop being afraid of a government shutdown. But again, we've been seeing this and hearing this from Congress for many, many years. They continue just to kick the can down the road.
Yeah, they do. There are big opportunities here. You know, one thing that I do. Oh, no. What happened? That was my fault. I bumped a button over here and we've cut off Ashley. So we'll try to get her back here in just a minute. One of the things I worry about is that in terms of missed opportunities is the fact that how do they guarantee that Joe Biden, there's no way to guarantee he doesn't do more damage before he leaves town, right? I mean, there's just no way to guarantee that. And hold on, do we have Ashley back? All right, hang on just a minute. Let me get her. Ashley, sorry about that. My fault. I hit a wrong button here. My apologies. Are you there?
No worries.
Okay.
Yes, I'm
so,
here.
So my concern is, you know, what other damage can Joe Biden do before he leaves office? He just commuted the death sentences of everybody on federal death row minus three people yesterday. And I don't believe he's the one that took that action.
No, I completely agree with you. I think that there's someone else running the show here. He's pretty much checked out. And basically what is just shocking is some of these decisions that are coming from him and his administration. And in a way, I just feel like they're basically giving the American people the middle finger. And it's really unfortunate what we're seeing and these decisions that are coming from, quote, Biden. But again, I don't really believe that it's him. I think that there's someone else that's driving this. And it's also interesting, too, what I'm concerned about between now and January 20th. You know, you hear from Biden, you also heard this from Harris, is that all they wanted was a smooth transition. But really, these actions that are taking place with these pardons and then also giving billions of dollars away to Africa, continued billions of dollars to Ukraine, it's basically really teeing things up that's going to make it difficult for Trump when he comes in.
Yeah.
And so my concern is from a national security standpoint, you know, tensions are continuing to rise with Iran. It's continuing to rise with Russia. Where are we going to be at regarding to that? Plus our open border, plus the suspicion of these drones, for example, what they're doing. I just think that there is just a lot of things happening that are of concern that I think is going to make it difficult for Trump between now and January 20th.
Yeah, yeah, that's a very good point. You know, this Turning Point USA event out in Phoenix, or it was in Arizona for sure this weekend. Huge crowd. Younger crowd cheering on Donald Trump and Rob Schneider and the other people that spoke out there. That, I don't know about you. I mean, you're a lot younger than I am, but that gives me a lot of hope for the future, because this is an organization that I think had an impact in the November election and will have an impact moving forward, because I worry about the future for my grandkids.
Sure, absolutely. And I think that Turning Point has done a really good job. Charlie Kirk has done a great job really trying to engage young students, particularly in high school and on college campuses. He really gives thought-provoking conversations, challenges them on their ideas, trying to make them defend themselves and why they believe what they believe, but then also sheds light on truth and then presents truth to them. And so I would say that he really was a force multiplier when it came to reaching the next generation. And so it is encouraging to see this, especially when you see thousands of young people there at the AmFest there in Phoenix over the weekend, ready to go, feeling inspired to continue the fight. So I would say that Charlie definitely has done a very good job in terms of engaging the next generation, and to think how much more he'd be able to reach come the next presidential cycle in 2028. And literally, too, keep in mind, midterms are coming up in 2026.
Yep.
And so when you look at the voter bloc, one of the largest voter blocs moving forward is going to be that Gen Z generation. And so being able to focus on that particular generation, getting them involved, making politics cool, making President Trump more cool and everything. And you, that really just draws this younger generation. So it's fun to watch. It's great to see that this is happening. And I look forward to seeing where Turning Point goes moving forward, reaching this next generation.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, Ashley Smith-Thomas, we appreciate your time. How can people find out more about Freedom Fund USA?
Yeah, so our website is freedomsfundusa.org. That's freedomsfundusa.org. And you can also follow me on social media. I'm on Facebook, X, and Instagram at Ashley Smith-Thomas.
Very good. Ashley, Merry Christmas to you. Thank you.
Merry Christmas. Thank you for having me.
All right. Take care. I appreciate that. Here's the other part that I missed on this earlier. Ethan, go ahead and play cut 10 for us. Trump makes the normal ending to his speech, and then what he did was fantastic. He went into the Trump dance at the end of it on screen. Now, go to cut number 10, please.
And together, we will make America powerful again. We will make America wealthy again. We will make America healthy again. We will make America strong again. We will make America proud again. We will make America safe again. And we will make America great again. Thank you very much. And thank you, Arizona. Happy New Year. Merry Christmas. Thank you very much. Thank you. God bless you all.
So at this point, Trump turns and looks at the audience and he starts doing the Trump dance, and the crowd went wild. I'm sure they were all doing it in the audience too, and nobody there was ever alive when that song came out. So just continues to poke his finger in the eye of all those crazed liberals out there. I love it. Coming up, we'll talk to our friend Jesse Jane Duff. Tom Ackerman's going to be in here. He probably won't want to talk about college football, but we'll definitely talk about the Bragging Rights game and what happened yesterday downtown with Illinois and Mizzou. It's all straight ahead on the Mark Cox Morning Show.